NPR.
Kayla Nelson is from Lafayette, Indiana, a city of about 70,000 people.
It's a very small-knit town.
Kayla spoke with our producer, Camille Peterson. And Kayla says Lafayette is big on manufacturing. It makes a lot of car parts. Kayla, in fact, works in one of those factories. She drives a forklift for Subaru. At least she did. In March, Subaru rounded up all of its employees and said it was shutting the factory for now, told everybody to go home. Kayla's husband works at Subaru, too, got laid off the same day she did. And suddenly, the two of them had no income. And they have a lot of expenses.
I have 5 boys.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. My oldest is 13, and my youngest boy, he is 2.
Kayla and her husband needed money coming in. So right when they got home, they went to Indiana's unemployment website, put in their unemployment application. That was on April 2nd.
A week went by. I'm like, okay, I have some savings saved up. 2 weeks went by. I'm like, okay, it's starting to get a little bit ridiculous now. But now it's like, okay, it's May now. We're going to have to pay rent next month. Mm-hmm. We don't have any income coming in. We don't know when we can go back to work. We have 5 mouths to feed.
It's been more than 6 weeks, and Kayla and her husband still haven't gotten their unemployment checks. Kayla got so frustrated, she looked around and found a Facebook group of people in Indiana who are all in the same situation.
For me to see all different types of people from different walks of life on social media and talking about how they can't support their family and household, it was just, it's sickening and saddening. With the CARES Act, they made it seem like they were going to get the money directly to us. I'm like, what is going on?
What is going on? Back in March, Congress passed the $2.2 trillion CARES Act. And a big part of that bill was expanding unemployment to make sure that people like Kayla and her husband would get money as the businesses they worked for were ordered to close. But there is a middleman between those trillions of dollars and people like Kayla, state unemployment offices. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Many state unemployment offices are running on shoestring budgets. They have outdated computer systems, sometimes just a few dozen employees. And suddenly, these little operations are a lifeline for 36 million unemployed Americans. Not to mention the entire U.S. economy, which is counting on people getting money to pull the country through this time and prevent it from sinking even deeper into this recession.
Greg, you write the Planet Money newsletter. Tell me what you're covering during the crisis.
Price gouging, how to save jobs, why the Fed is sending billions of dollars all over the world, and why remote work sucks. I miss our chats. Go to npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter. That's npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter.
Kayla Nelson and her husband have been waiting for their unemployment checks for 6 weeks. Meanwhile, Kayla's husband got sick with COVID-19. Some of her kids have been showing symptoms. So she is trying to quarantine people, care for people, cook, clean, keep the kids doing their schoolwork, keep everybody inside. And on top of that, she is spending hours on the phone every day with Indiana's unemployment office.
Just calling the 1-800 number would drive you crazy. You're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then once you finally get on the phone with them, either one, they hang up on you, the call is dropped, or two, they don't have any information to give you.
Kayla tried email, thought maybe that would be faster.
Emailed 90 different claim agents. And I only got a response back from one. Our family, we are really in crisis, and I keep getting a runaround with unemployment.
My name is Josh Richardson. I'm the chief of staff at the Indiana Department of Workforce Development. We operate the state's unemployment insurance program.
Josh has been working there for more than a decade. He was there during the Great Recession, when things got so bad, they had nearly 30,000 people applying for unemployment in 1 week. So when Indiana announced a statewide shutdown, there was this one thought that went through his head.
How do we possibly staff up to process benefits that people need in the time frame in which they're going to expect them and need them?
Just a few months ago, Indiana was seeing record low unemployment. The staff was lean, but it was more than adequate to handle the 2,000-odd people filing for unemployment every week. They had about 50 people answering phones and around 100 people processing claims. But Josh thought, if we get up to the Great Recession high of nearly 30,000 people a week filing for unemployment, we're not going to be able to handle that with our little staff. And then the claims started coming in. 3,000 people, 5,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000. Josh couldn't believe what he was seeing, and the numbers kept climbing to 50,000, 100,000 people. And then it kept climbing.
Yeah, it was like 120, 130, 140.
140,000 people filing for unemployment in 1 week. That's almost five times what Josh had seen during the Great Recession.
Just realizing that this was just really different than what we were expecting and what we were built for.
Hundreds of thousands of people were calling, and Josh had 50 people answering phones. He started hiring as fast as he could, but people had to be vetted and trained. And in the meantime, all of these weird problems started cropping up.
You start to see these reports of people saying, well, I've been, you know, waiting 4 hours and I was hung up on. And so, you start to investigate and say, how in the world are people getting hung up on?
Josh looked into it, and it turns out a lot of cell phone carriers have call time limits.
Most of them, I think that we've seen many with 4 hour hold limits. And so if that person...
People are on hold for 4 hours?
They are on hold for 4 hours, and it's an extraordinarily long time. And even all the longer when you've been waiting for 4 hours and the call automatically gets dropped.
There were also all these reports of people calling and the number just not working at all. It turns out there are actually limits on how many calls per second one phone line can accept.
So even when we had the recording to say, sorry, we can't answer the phone, the number of calls per second exceeded our ability even to connect them with the recording.
They were getting more than 60 calls per second. In the last 8 weeks, Josh has brought on hundreds of people. He now has roughly 650 people working with him. But they're trying to assist 640,000 Indianans who've lost their jobs. Josh's hold time is down to around 2 hours, and he says he is working all the time. He doesn't take breaks. He says whenever he tries to, all he can think about are the people who haven't gotten their money yet. People like Kayla, who says her family situation is getting more desperate by the day.
We barely have enough to pay the rent and still have money left over to support our family if we don't get any relief. I've even tried to apply to the current jobs that are currently open, the gas stations or the grocery stores, and I haven't really received any responses back, apparently not hiring. So it's just very, very frustrating, and then trying to stay positive and, just not trying to be depressed and show your children that, because, kids can pick up on that. But when you're worried, about survival, basically, it weighs on you.
Kayla says for comfort, she's been turning to her Facebook group. But she says those people are really hurting, too. She says as the weeks have gone by, people have gotten more and more desperate. They've even started giving each other little microloans and dropping supplies off to each other, trying to help each other through.
I have Pampers. I can mail you some Pampers. I can spare $10 or something like that. It's comforting, and it's a really, noble and generous thing to do, but it's still very sad because everybody is dependent on the government right now. Me and my husband never had to depend on the government. We've been working for years. So to go from being our own backbone and our own source of income to just waiting, and you don't know when it's coming. But I was at my lowest yesterday. I was over it. I quit. I was over it.
Josh Richardson says he and his team are working as fast as they can, trying to get money out to the people who so desperately need it. Still, he says he knows that for a lot of people, people like Kayla, it's just not fast enough.
We sort of get the, hey, you guys should have been more prepared. You should have seen this coming. And there's no point in arguing that out. All we can do is try to get better. It's going to take a while.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Camille Peterson, fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. The Indicator is edited by Patty Hirsch and is a production of NPR.